Hawks made a big move yesterday. Are they going to make another big move tonight? NBA draft goes on at State Farm Arena. Draft party happening. Anse Sala, general manager of our Hawks, going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour. Stay tuned for that. Mike and I have a lot of questions for him. And it's going to be his first time on our show since becoming the general manager. Guys, he was with the front office, but Landry Fields was the face
right.
of the front office at that time. And so this is his vision. And certainly they went out and hired a couple of guys to help him build this team when they went out and got Bryson Graham and Peter Dinwiddie from the Sixers. So we'll talk to them about all that and the restructuring and all that stuff coming up. Mike, as we've been talking about the Porzingis deal, it's funny. A lot of guys saying this is like some guys, not all,
right,
said they feel like this is like the Chris Sale. When we got Chris Sale, and there was like, oh, I'm not sure. There's a lot of upside if he lives up to it.
You thought that, hey, he's damaged goods now. Chris Sale will never get back to that kind of elite level.
Yes.
And you banked on the future, and Alex Anthopoulos looked like he always does, generally a stinking genius with these deals. So, hey, that's a great comparison, a good comp if that's the case. Porzingis brings something we haven't had. You know, as I said, I mean, if you could take some of the athleticism and the pick and roll of John Collins with his outside perimeter game, that's a nice, but that's not the way it works. So you're still not getting some of those things you really want in the minds of some Hawks fans. But I think even the guys who are kind of sitting there with their arms crossed going, yeah, you still got to agree it's the best guy, the biggest name that Trey's had alongside since he started in the NBA.
No doubt. And again, he comes in here and he's able to give us 19 a game, guys. That increases our scoring potential and certainly our three-point shooting. There are a lot of reasons to be excited about the Porzingis deal, but I get the hesitation when it comes to the injury stuff. But that's a great analogy about Chris Sale because there were a lot of folks like, and I just knew he was a dog. I don't know about Porzingis from that standpoint. The desire, Mike, where he just, you know, wants to prove everybody wrong. Chris Sale was coming off that injury, and he wanted a new scenery, new scenery. I knew he was going to be committed.
And he's a dog.
I mean, Chris,
he's a competitor. Wow. I know that gets thrown around, but he's one of those guys. It's ironic, you know, the old days of the Braves, you know, Maddox, Glavin, Smoltz, those were the guys that you really wanted as leaders. Unfortunately, they were playing golf four days out of the week. You know what I mean? They didn't get to play every day. But that's a kind of, you know, heart and soul guy. Hey, man. And if you're Trey, I mean, does this signal that, look, we are trying to improve this team? And again, guys, it's just part one. Everybody wants to know, well, now what? Well, again, there's more stuff to happen. Free agency technically doesn't begin until July 6th, so there's more moves potentially, and we'll try to get as much out of Anse Sala as we can coming up.
All right, real quick, Ed, what's going on, Ed? Appreciate the tweet at Put 'em Up. C. Dukes, Mike Bell, ATL, he says, fellas, I think wrestler has short arms and long pockets, meaning he's not shown us as a fan base his ability to spend the kind of money that we expect him to spend, even though he's got it. It's not as if he doesn't have it. And I said, look, Ed, maybe you're right about this. The part about this is, though, and this is where I have to be fair with our ownership, you've been in the play-in for the last 4 years.
Right.
Every year you go, we're going to be better, and then you get to this point where you realize, hey, we're going to win 40, 45 games, and we're back in the play-in. If you own this team, why would you spend the extra in the aprons and the taxes that are associated with that if you knew that that was the ceiling for your team? See, I think it has to be shown to wrestler that not only are we a championship competitive team, but, Mike, we're going to get past the first round.
Right.
We're a team that maybe can get back to the Eastern Conference Finals, and not just 1 year. Can we do it a couple of seasons and have some real continuity and some runs in us before he says, all right, you know what, now it's time for me to go all in? I just feel like that's why he's been hesitant, even though I agree with Ed completely.
But I think you got to take it back to 21, 22. Okay, all of a sudden, you know, they give Red Velvet the extension, and now, then they move Red Velvet.
Money.
And that's the kind of role player, and that was a budget move. So a kind of guy, like, whatever you think about Kevin Herter, what he's done after he left us, and he had one great season in Sacramento that was kind of uneven, but Herter is the kind of bench piece, you don't take that off and strip that off the car. You know, now you got a car missing, and now you're missing some trim, right?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean,
that's you
it's
keep
missing
that.
Rims.
You know, so that's a piece. So that was a signal to me that we're going the wrong way. And then here you go. 8th, 7th, 10th, 9th. Haven't been over 500 since 21-22. You know, and I know that Bogey wasn't cheap, and Bogey had his own limitations as far as how healthy. You could never see Bogey if you had a back-to-back. You know, Bogey wasn't going to play. So all of a sudden, we start losing pieces and we're stripping it away. Gallinari, that was a nice piece. That 21 roster had a lot of things which we haven't had subsequently. And I just think the owner, you got to build off a championship season, not go backwards.
Yes.
So as much as I understand the economics of not throwing money down the well, show me that you care. Show me it's more about this great real estate development I'm looking at across the street here.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be the most luxurious development in Metro Atlanta.
It is. It is. In a very, very long time.
Yes.
It really is. All right, man. More to get to. Nick Friedel is going to join us, Odyssey NBA Insider. Right now, though, let's get to 4th and 1. Mike, remember when Aaron Rodgers said that he flew into New York and then he had the conversation with Aaron Glenn, the new coach? And
he flew cross-country at his own expense, only to be told by Aaron Glenn, see ya.
Well, he asked him, do you want to be here, Aaron Glenn, allegedly. Right. And Aaron said, yeah, I want to be here, and then basically told him to beat it. I don't think Aaron Glenn didn't say anything that that was said by Aaron Rodgers. Maybe he said all of that, because here's the latest quote from Aaron Glenn when it comes to his new quarterback, Justin Fields. Justin is winning over his teammates. He's not trying to be a celebrity quarterback. He's just trying to be himself. Shots fired. Because that is what he wanted to get away with, or away from, should I say, when you know, he was talking to Aaron Rodgers. I don't think they wanted to sign Aaron. They did that whole meeting thing just to say they did it. But I don't think they had any intentions. And maybe Aaron was telling the truth about how nasty and disgusting that meeting went, because everybody's like, oh, that couldn't have happened. Maybe it did.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe Aaron Glenn had nothing but contempt for him, but I think at least common courtesy. You don't make a guy fly all the way across country. Hell, man, you do a damn Zoom meeting. You look into his eyes over a television monitor. But again, I don't trust anything Aaron Rodgers says, because he's full of crap. So I'll give Aaron Glenn the benefit of the doubt, because that's, you know, Aaron Rodgers has a puffed up sense of self ego, and the whole world is wrong and he's right about everything. Okay, so I'll say hold off on that, because Aaron Glenn was a pro, and I don't think I wouldn't be led to believe anything we've known from guys who played or worked with him that he would treat somebody like that.
Well, I've known Aaron Glenn a long time. I've said this to you. I don't think this is who Aaron Glenn's a straight up guy. That offends a lot of people, Mike. And I'll say this: maybe that was the intent, was to fly him across the country so I could look him in the eye and say we're moving on. Like, to do that on a Zoom, isn't that disrespectful?
Well, that's just it. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, look, you know, it was also disrespectful of Aaron Rodgers to go to Egypt during a week. That he could have, you know, that was the only week he could go, was that mini camp. But again, that was before Aaron Glenn was coach. That was on Robert Saleh and Jeff Ulbrich's watch. Speaking of Ulbrich, by the way, making the news, talking about a guy we spent a lot of time in the last few months talking about, James Pierce Jr., saying that he loves the special blend of size and speed in the rookie. And he says, remembers the first time that he met him. This is the article, Carl, from Falcons.com. I was like, oh, my God, this is not what I was expecting, to have that size and that sort of movement and speed, talking about the individual, you know, workouts that they did. Evaluating him, you see the speed, the explosion, some of the things subsequently Coach Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot talked about. So Ulbrich's a believer. Now, how do you harness all that speed and power?
Well, he's going to have plenty of time to figure that out. I'm sure he's in a lab, as we like to say right now, trying to figure out what he wants to do and how he wants to use these guys. The athleticism has been increased on this football team, and just that alone is going to allow you to do some things that you've not been able to do. While we were speaking about Aaron Rodgers, this is what he said on Pat McAfee about this being his last year.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is it. You know, that's why we just did a one-year deal. Steelers didn't need to, you know, put any extra years on that or anything. So, you know, this was really about finishing with a lot of love and fun and peace for the career that I've had. I mean, I played 20 freaking years. You know, like, it's been a long run, and I've enjoyed it. And what better place to finish than in one of the cornerstone franchises of the NFL? Mike Tomlin and a great group of leadership and great guys in the city that expects you to win.
Unlike where I just came from.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I didn't say that.
He might as well have. I mean, he's like, I've been to two storied franchises. Two. I'm like, wait a minute. What about the Jets? Are you leaving out the Jets?
Yeah, man. Look, I think even Jets fans would say, we're not a storied franchise.
Yeah.
We're a laughing stock.
What's going to happen in Cleveland, guys? Deontay Johnson believes Kenny Pickett, Mike, is going to emerge as the Browns' starting quarterback. Listen to this quote. I think they're probably going to roll with him, just to see, like, you know, what it's like coming off the season he had in Philly and having a Super Bowl. So I think they're going to stick with him through the preseason. Kenny Pickett?
Well, first off, consider the information from Deontay Johnson, the guy that basically quit on the Ravens.
He did quit.
You know, so, okay, that's his side. I'm going to say no, not two gloves Kenny Pickett, who's a bum. He said that, you know, he was in Baltimore, by the way, did a Sports and Suits podcast, and saying that I wasn't getting into, like, no run plays, no passing plays, nothing. I'm cold on the sideline on why he checked out mentally. Remember that he refused to enter the game for the Ravens?
Yeah, yeah.
That was a big story we talked about down the stretch last year. So, okay, now he's over there and he feels that Kenny Pickett's going to be the guy. I mean, I don't know. I've seen all these images, and we've seen some of the stats. Guys are breaking down everything Shedeur Sanders does. It is tough, though, man. When you're fourth on the depth chart, how are you going to be able to leapfrog these guys with the depending on how the rotation goes in the preseason games, right?
Yes.
Or what you're doing in practice, if they have those joint practices in Cleveland, for instance.
You brought this up yesterday. It's Dukes and Bell, 4th and 1, guys, brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Nick Friedell coming up. Odyssey NBA Insider to talk draft with us. His thoughts on the Hawks' move to get Porzingis and more in less than 5 minutes. This collusion ruling.
Yeah.
So the Broncos owner, now it's coming out, guys. And this is kind of – it's weird, Mike. This is not being talked about as much as I would like it to be talked about.
Right.
Because at the time, and we're going back to the Lamar Jackson negotiations where he didn't have an agent, nobody was calling to trade for Lamar, and everybody said, well, because you got to give up 2 first-rounders. It was crap. Now we find out that through this investigation, there were a lot of teams that were talking. Broncos owner said they saw no need to pay Russell Wilson. This is also part of it, Mike. With 2 years left on his deal, they felt the team could have let things play out and make Russell prove himself. So, you know, these are the decisions financially that affect teams. And we're talking about this because, guys, when we say, isn't that weird? Like, it was weird how the whole Lamar thing went down.
And Arthur Blank was one of the, as you mentioned, Arthur Blank had to give his testimony in front of the arbitrator. Because when the Lamar Jackson thing came out, that, you know, hey, Lamar's trying to negotiate his own deal and he maybe gets traded. And then the teams are coming, like the Falcons, out of the blue. We are not interested in Lamar Jackson. Whoa. Where'd that come from? You know, other teams said it. Just to get you guys, I'll walk you guys back. You don't remember the timeline. So Jimmy Haslam, and remember, we were part of this process because we made a play for Deshaun Watson without having enough money to stay at that poker chip, no chips at that poker table. So we and other teams do the bidding job, and then Haslam throws that incredible guaranteed money package, and the owners freak out about it. And then Russell Wilson's contract comes up after he gets traded to Denver. And then what came out yesterday was the former Players Association president, J.C. Tretter, who played for the Browns back in the day.
Yes.
He said that he's expecting, and the league expects you, Russ, to further this by taking 100% guaranteed money with Denver. And he didn't do it. And then word came out that he called him a wuss. Basically, that was the word that got out amongst the Players Association members, that Russell didn't get a fully guaranteed contract because he's not smart enough, not strategic enough to push hard enough for it. In other words, letting it down. The league's rank and file and the Players Association, they want the NFL to be just like the NBA or Major League Baseball. Mm. NFL owners want no part of that. Mm. And that's why they wanted to strangle Jimmy Haslam for giving that crazy contract to Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, because nobody wants to do that again. And by the way, it hasn't happened again.
Correct.
Nobody's gotten $230 million guaranteed.
But surprised that Mr. Unlimited, who at the time his brand was not crap, didn't push for that.
All right. We're going to talk about the NBA draft tonight. We're down here at State Farm Arena. Draft party going on tonight for Hawks fans, season ticket holders, guys. Nick Friedell is going to join us next. We'll find out what he thinks about what we did in this Porzingis trade and more coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Odyssey.com.